Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
You know we've got need to escalate. See, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and peace here today. So, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Right now.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Hi, welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and Frank. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. For those of you just logging in, we are going to have a very special guest here tonight. I happen to be introduced to him through another person who already knows him and finds him amazing. And from what little I did get to read about his project, it was already intriguing to me, but when I spoke with the man and I had the pleasure of being graced with his essence, it was even more of a passionate thing for me to want to bring him on right away. So we're not winging it by any means, but we're definitely going to be asking questions as we go, because this man is the perfect complement to what On the Edge show has been about. Now, we all know that our motto is real talk about real issues, but we have been majoritarily based on improving and empowering our youth and restoring our youth, because all of us on a most commonplace basis have spoken about how today's youth are definitely in a lot more trouble with a lot less support or solutions than we were growing up. You know, no longer are the grandmothers that, you know, have the strong hands, or the priests or the preachers that are opening their doors, or the teachers that have authority. None of this is happening. Our children are being faced with being the society pointing fingers at them, budget cuts, metal detectors in their school, racial profiling, homosexuality due to other stuff. We're dealing with all of that. So this man decided to take whatever he had gone through as a child and what he has seen around him and give back to the youth by informing not just the youth but their parents exactly what the breakdown in today's parents and children are. Okay, and one of the things that he's done is created a wonderful project, which, based on the little bit I got to see with his upcoming website, I was amazed. And it's called Every Child Has a Dream. But what's the biggest bonus is this man is the last protege of Marvin Gaye, the late and great Marvin Gaye. And from the book that he wrote, and let me get the title straight, because you guys know that every now and then I have to check my sources and be correct here. The book is entitled The Last Protege of Marvin Gaye by Cecil Jenkins. Well, Cecil J, but his name is Cecil Jenkins. That's our guest tonight. And it's mostly written, I guess, from a subjective or metaphorical point based on what he had achieved and got from his experience working with Marvin Gaye. Now, he is on the line. He's going to be telling us all about his project, about what he tends to do with it, what it means. We will be playing several of his songs tonight because, from amazing man that he is, all of the songs have a special story behind it. So throughout this broadcast, hopefully I can get all seven tracks in there today. We will be gracing you with what I loved about it. So, without further ado, welcome to the show, everybody, Mr. Cecil Jenkins, and I'm bringing him in right now.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
I'm fine. How about
you? Well, before we get started, allow me to say on the air, and my co-hosts are also on the line, and a wonderful guest panel that we have, a panelist we have often. Cecil, having gotten to know you in the last couple of days, I feel like I have been graced with the most amazing thing to happen to for our youth today. And when we started this show, there was so much passion, and we all of the co-hosts involved with it have our own special personal story. So I read a bit of yours, and you also had the same personal drive based on experience, based on things in your childhood that you were prompted to go grow up and do this for the youth back. So the way that you have used the industry with children to bring that out was what amazed me. So allow me to bring my co-host in, and then please start your story and please explain what this wonderful project is about, okay? Just a second.
Sure.
Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Deacon Williams. Hang on, let me bring the other co-host in, and we will all formally introduce. Hold on. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you?
All right. Hi. Okay. Deacon Betty Williams, Cecil, he is our contributing, consulting activist for community youth issues, things like that, out in Toledo, Ohio. Lady Diamond, Elaine Nevis, she is my co-host on the show. Both of you, welcome our guest tonight, Mr. Cecil Jenkins, the former, the late and great, sorry, Marvin Gaye's last protege, okay? So say your hellos, and we will allow him to speak tonight.
All right, good evening, everyone, and God bless you and your families.
Okay.
Great. And I wanted to
say a personal
shout out to each of you as well. Good evening to you.
Thank you very much, sir. All right, please share with my listeners what amazed me so about your project. Tell us the name of your project and what it is that you're doing and what it means for you.
Well, the title of the project is a brand new CD, and the CD is called Can't You See the Things Going On in the World Today. Now, we're spelling it with a K-A-N-T, capital U, capital C. The reason why we decided to do that is to make sure that people focus in on it and show the importance of it. Had we just given it a C-A-N-T as opposed to the K, it would have been just a regular spelling. And it's interesting how sometimes we can look right at something and never really see it. And Katie, I sent you a photo today. It was a photocopy of the front of the CD.
Indeed, you did.
Yes, I did. And there's something interesting about that you may not have taken note. And don't feel bad when I explain it to you, because there are several people who look at it and don't see it. If you look into the eyes of the lady on the cover, in the very left eye, left pupil there, you will see me kneeling with my hands. You'll see white cuffs and white collar with a black jacket, and then my head, I'm praying. And then if you look in the right pupil, you will see the heavenly places, like the clouds, the dove, the sun. It could be mistaken as being a moon. But the point is that I often ask people, what is it that you see in this CD? And when they look at it, they say, can't you see? She's a very pretty girl. Okay, I like this. It's good. I like the way you have this set up and arranged. But most just don't see the pupils in the eye.
Amen.
You see, and what that says is this. We can look right at one another and miss the whole point of the person that we're looking at. It can happen that way with parents and their children. It can happen that way in a relationship. It can happen that way in business or just in friendship normally.
Yeah.
Reasons why that's so important to Cecil and Lujan is because we want people to be able to see what it is that we have to offer with hopes that the education from it would not only inspire them to do more to assist and to help our youth, but it would continue to encourage us as well. Because when we teach, we learn. And that's basically how it is. Iron continues to sharpen iron.
Right.
If it doesn't, then it's no benefit to either of us.
Correct.
So I wanted to make that clear first about the CD. And now, Katie, you can take a look at it at some point, and you'll see all of what I've said. And then again, you may have already seen it.
I will be honest with you, and I did not mean to interrupt you at all. When you sent me the CD, because of what we were trying to get from it, I really didn't look at the cover. I was looking for what the material we were supposed to send for today. So I will go back there, and I will look at it, and I will apologize to you by inbox later.
No, you don't have to apologize to me. The point is that I expect people not to necessarily see it, you know, because, again, we look right at things. But sometimes we miss the eyes.
Correct.
It's so important to see the eyes. And it just happens. I mean, had it been reversed and you did it to me, I may not have seen it, you see. It happens that way. But I'm glad I was able to do that and then to stress that point right now. So don't feel bad about it. Let me tell you, I've did this quite a few people. I've done this to quite a few people. And it always come out somewhat the same. At least 89 and 90% of the time, it happens that way. But I wanted to talk about the project and what inspired it. And what inspired this project is the pain and suffering that I go through myself personally. And Lujan as well shares the same feelings. The pain and suffering that I go through when I look at our youth. See, I'm that kid that Marvin Gaye helped save. That's who I am.
My Lord.
Save the children meant a great deal to Marvin. And I'm that kid that he helped save. I'm a surrogate child of his family. He invited me to his family. The family embraced me and made me a younger brother. Uncle Frankie, Marvin's brother, of course, was responsible for doing the majority of the grooming of me to prepare me for something that we had in mind, the three of us. And so spending the time with the family and having the love that they were giving me and me being thousands of miles away from home, I'm from Virginia. That's Norfolk and Virginia Beach and Chesapeake, Suffolk area. So I'm as far east as you can come on the Atlantic. And Los Angeles or Hollywood, where we were when I was there, was as far west on the Pacific. So I was a long ways away from home. And being a project kid, of course, you know, you learn to move around and do things when you come out of the project. Most of us do anyway. I came out of Oak Leaf Park, and there's an area that's called Diggs Park. Capistella is what it's called. But it was you know, coming up through all of that, I really didn't have the fear that one would have by being so far away from home. But there were challenges. But the love for Marvin's family is what carried me through some of those challenges, along with what my mother taught me as a child. My mother taught me very well, and she taught all of her children. There are seven of us, and which is a very spiritual kind of number. And I do things mostly in sevens. But what started this off was me as a kid growing up to see my uncle. And this is the story. This is why it's a story. And the book and the CD, all of it plays a strong part together. Growing up from the embryo of me and my mother's belly is where it starts, to the point where as I become this child, young child, and then seeing my uncle, who was a singer with the group that was called the Five Sheiks, or the Five Pearls, that was out of Norfolk, Virginia, along with the Church Street Five people back then. And noticing him on Atlantic Records and touring with Ray Charles and Lionel Hampton and others, it's when I knew what it was I was supposed to be. Now, granted, I said seven children. You got them in medicine, you have them in education, you have them in all sorts of things, construction, and so forth and so forth. But yet, I'm the only one who decided to carry the torch of the entertainment industry. And probably because of the love that I have for God.
Amen.
The love that
Amen.
I have for God
Amen.
Was so phenomenal that I feel the pain that others feel, and I feel it genuinely because I care. I want to be able to make a difference. I desire to make a difference because that's the way Jesus was.
Amen.
Anyway, you see, so this CD came and derived from a great deal of that. That's why we have songs on the CD that's called Every Child Has a Dream, which is the theme of the tour, the Every Child Has a Dream tour. And you have songs like Save the Children, Saving the Babies, which was inspired by Anna Gordy Gay, which is Berry Gordy's sister, Marvin Gaye's first wife.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Iris Gordy had a little feel in there, too. You know, we mentioned it to her. But that's what inspired that song, Save the Children, Saving the Babies. And then we have one that's called Overloaded. Why, Stuck, Thankful. A lot of one-word songs, which is what I really like.
Mm-hmm.
But the stories that are there are stories that are heartfelt, stories that are real, stories that are genuine. The music industry has taken a 390-degree angle in the opposite direction of what it is. I placed on my Facebook today, what happened to African-American music? The kind of music that teaches, music that we are taught from. Where is it? It is not around any longer. You can't find it anywhere.
Indeed.
You can't find it anywhere. Where can you find it at? And this is what our children are being taught by. See, we were taught by that Motown music and that music that had feeling and stories and identification, things that taught us about ourselves, things that taught us about life, about love. We don't have it anymore. And kids are learning all the wrong things. All the wrong things.
Indeed.
So this inspired Lou John and myself, and we hadn't been together in a while. We had began to pursue solo careers, and then we just couldn't find one another. And then all of a sudden we found one another because of social network and other things, as most people are doing today. And we were very quickly to respond to the times that we're living. And because of that, we came up with Can't You See? Things going on in the world today. And now we are trying to push that project because our goal is this, understand that young black males and young black people really can't find work anywhere. This is why you got the Trayvon thing that's happening, they're talking about, and all the other things. A sad situation. Sad, sad situation. That we just have to be profiled, all because there's nothing available for our youth. So with them taking money away from the arts, that was the first mistake.
Yes.
The arts is what helps us to round us off.
Yes.
It's a desire of love and camaraderie. Give us that desire to want to be a team player. Of course, the sports is still there. My goodness, if not for the sports, everything would be destroyed in the African-American community.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Even though we have young doctors and lawyers and others and judges and so forth out there, but this, we're talking about the majority of our youth right now.
Yes.
On a scale. So here we go, and we decide to write this CD, and that's what has in the song Overloaded. Overloaded talks about Facebook, Twitter, cell phone, and MySpace.
Yeah.
And how every time I look around, it's all in my face. You know, it's just too much, too much, too much, too much. You know, it's hard to say what I want to be.
Right.
Because there's too much going on in life today that we get caught up in life.
Mm-hmm.
So caught up in life that we just feel so overloaded. The worst part about it is that we can't seem to control it.
Yeah.
Because it's just simply too much.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
I was going to ask about a point that you just made. Go ahead, continue. I'll get back to you.
Okay. So when we think about it, look at us as adults. It's just too much. Here it is. We have this mature brain. Here it is. We have the experiences that we have in life. Here it is, we're grounded somewhat. But then you think about our youth, and all of this comes at them at once. And then they talk about how they're not losing weight, they're overweighted, and everything else. And then they're going to have arthritis in their wrist, and their fingers, and their hands, and their hips.
It's true. It's
because they don't wear belts, you see. So they're walking out of sync with the way the body is moving because they don't wear belts. And so they're going to have arthritis in all these areas, and they're going to be good for nothing in the future.
Yes.
You see, physically. And we know in order to survive, we have to be strong physically. You see, we have to take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got to get right back to trying to take care of our young people. And this is why, in that area of things, as well as the arts, as well as in the school system and other avenues, like my cousin Michael Buckholz, he was with MC Hammer back in the day. He was the one that inspired with Hammer and played most of all the instrumentation on Too Legit to Quit. Well, Michael Buckholz is a very strong musician entertainer, and he's heading an autism nonprofit organization. And so all of our youth all the way around the spectrum, because he himself is an autism kid. You see, autistic kid himself. But yet he wrote a hit that was huge. So that means autism has various levels. And so it's not to say that they can't comprehend. So with the project, can't you see all the things going on in the world today? Cecil and Lou John wants to take part of his proceeds from various songs on the CD and help collect funds that can be put back into the school system scholarship-wise, you see, on this lowest level, you see, so that the arts can be placed back into the school system, you see. And not only that, but to help autism to go to another level, to help young people in that area. So there are various areas, and I just gave you those two to show you that there are various things in between that can assist. because we want to continue to help make doctors and as well as attorneys and, you know, and managers and things of that sort too, you see. And so it's going to take funds to do it. And so we realize that we're not in this business to be as rich as some of the others are. And to make a long story short, to give you an understanding of that, in business, if the project brings $100 million, Zujan's going to take 10, and I'm going to take 10, and we're going to go about our very way. And somebody just made $80 million, you see, as long as most of those proceeds go toward the foundations that we're talking about, as well as assistance on the next project around. Now, that can happen. It can definitely happen. So we're not walking away with all the money. I mean, how we see it. We see the education as being the most important part of what it is that we're doing, because we can always do it again. It's just a matter of just trying to make it work together and collectively right now.
Yes.
Our youth are in trouble.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Most definitely.
Oh, yes. One of
it's not just because of them, though.
You know,
it's not just because of them themselves. You know, that's where the song Save the Children, Saving the Babies comes into play as the Miss Anna Vorty Gay, you see. And it's interesting because here it is after Marvin, and who do I get close to? Mrs. Anna Vorty Gay.
Yeah.
It's amazing how things happen, because during the time of Marvin, Mrs. Gay and I knew of one another, respected one another, but we weren't as close, because you got the Gordies, the Gays, and the Hunters. That's the names. But I was always able to deal with all three families. And that's what makes it so good, because all three families have a great deal to offer. And it's better if we do it all collectively.
Mm-hmm.
But that song, Save the Children, Saving the Babies, some of the things that she was saying in the lyric context of the song, you know, because this is a world that's so hateful, deceptive, and influenced. And the lyric says, like, our children we've lost to an unwanted world of spirit.
Yeah.
And they're too young to even know, inexperienced. Just think about it. Money, power, and fame. Sure, that can make a difference. But it can also destroy everything if they don't know what to do with it. Think about it. How much, most of them. Now, yeah, you take your head off to 50 Cent and quite a few others that knew exactly what to do with that money in business. It's got a lot of them that didn't know what to do with that money. And you don't even hear from them anymore.
Right.
You know. So I'm in pain because of that. And all I'm asking for, you know, Cecil and Lujan, I mean, you know, we have a great deal of history behind us. You know, we honestly do. And if one goes to our Facebook, or if one goes to my website, which is Cecil J., .com, that's SESILJ.com, you can read up on a great deal of things. Great deal of things, you know. I mean, just think about it. We're still living in a world today where mama gets sick, dad is running around trying to get a fix.
You see? Wow.
You know, and mama's suffering from being sick. You know,
And
dad need a job without a job, though. Ain't no job for him to have. You see, running away teaching signs of deceptions. You see, teaching signs of deceptions. It's just so painful when I see boys abusing little girls.
Yes, I have
a daughter. She's grown now, but I have a daughter. And I've never abused a woman in my life. You see, we may have differences, but physically abuse, never. You had a question, Katie, and I've been running off at the mouth, You shouldn't have never gave me the mic. Come on now.
It's your hour to know. What you had to say was very intriguing, and the reason why is because the three of us are on this panel, and we do have another co-host that had a family emergency tonight, but the four of us, the three of us on this panel tonight, plus my show in particular, our team, we all, as I stated earlier, we all have our own personal reason for wanting to come together to form this show. I mean, everybody was telling us that this was, everybody's got a talk show, everybody's got a music show, but we didn't care because we knew we were coming in, everybody wasn't us. So one of the things that you touched on earlier, because Deacon Williams has said it quite often, Elaine and I are mothers, and we've spoken about this quite often, but our show in particular, almost every song that you have a story for, we've had a topic on. And the main thing...
Oh, my goodness.
Right, that's the reason why, sir, that when you and I connected and we started to speak, the more that I read the little bits that I could, because I was actually reading your website after Dolores referred me to you, I was trying to catch up on, you know, what to know when I spoke with you. And I was doing it while I was broadcasting. So I was just getting bits and pieces, but the bits and pieces I was getting, my mouth was open. And I'm sitting there like, Lord, you're amazing, because this is like the perfect lock and fit, you know, like the key and the lock. Every song that you, especially the key ones that I have tonight, we've done a topic on and follow-up topics as well. So, for example, I want to ask you a question with regards to, I believe you said Overloaded is about the social media, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, one of the things that I think is your personal statement on it is, when we spoke, you said it's not just the social media, but the text messaging is sort of taking away the children's understanding that the electronics are supposed to be a backup communication, but it's more like a primary for them. And one of the things that we spoke about is it's not just the children. Absolutely. You know why? Because adults and society are both condoning it that way because we're absorbed in it as well. Now, some of us are doing for reasons that maybe we're in midlife crisis and we're trying to be it with the youngins. Others are in a position where their livelihood is all in their PDA. That's how they feed their children. That's what is required of them. But we were speaking about how there comes a point in time where technology was made to enhance our life by giving us time saving. But it's becoming a thing now where all the time savers is not leaving room for living.
No.
You understand? I was reading an article about a couple that don't even go upstairs to wake their children up for school anymore. They text their children awake.
Right, I went to that article after you had informed me of it. That's quite interesting, isn't it? It just tells you right now how far away parents are from their children when...
Yes. Yes.
When years ago it was always a hands-on, you know, and that's sad that it's that way.
Yes, it is.
But it is.
You can't even get families to sit down at a dinner table and discuss how their days went.
No, it's a reality now.
Right, right. So everything is so out of touch these days that, you know, it's really sad. Like I say all the time, the world has really started distancing themselves away from the Creator, and that's a real big step also.
Oh, it's a huge step. Huge step.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
We really got to think now for a second. When we read the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1-5, it talks about this particular time period. Because all the things that are mentioned there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1-5, are talking about all the things that are taking place. Sure, we can't change the entire world. We're just imperfect man and woman. But we can definitely try and educate as much as possible.
Yes.
Indeed.
That's
indeed
all we can do.
And I believe that that's what the parents of these children nowadays are missing. Well, I'm going to say mostly it's because most of the parents are single and they have to run and do jobs in order to keep their children out of the streets and, you know, with something to eat. But on the other hand, a lot of these mothers and fathers are a lot younger, closer to their children in age, and thus becoming friends instead of parents. And a lot of them are condoning. Lady Diamond, my co-host, she says most of the time, we see a lot of mothers going to malls and condoning their daughters buying certain outfits that, you know, we earn the right to wear to a club in our 40s. Or our 30s, you understand, having grown up and gone through our rites of passage, whereas 12-year-old girls are being pushed into modeling competitions by their parents, like toddlers and tiaras with 5-year-old girls. We were speaking about Honey Boo Boo Child. I know you know who that is. You know, yeah. That mom is trying to push the life she missed to her child. The child is falling asleep on national TV at 5 years old. She's getting makeup, you know, that's thicker than a gallon of paint stuck on one eyelid. You know, the child is walking around. The child is walking around thinking that because what I'm in and who I am, I don't need to be around you. So yeah, a lot of the values. Some of the things I hear these children say to their parents nowadays. I remember that if we even started the mouth twisting, we got to switch on one end or the other.
No, we had to keep a straight face. My lip could not be anywhere but tucked in where it's supposed to be. My lip could never be pushed out. Never.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, it got punched.
You couldn't even suck our own teeth.
Oh, yeah.
You got to put it in.
You're not going to stick your lip out. Have that lip out.
Forget about rolling your eyes or even twisting your head.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to take a break because there's I would like for Cecil's wonderful tracks to be played, and I you know that you won't get a lot of time in a broadcast if you don't start now. So, Cecil, I'm going to start off with your title, with the title of your project's track title, okay, which is Every Child Has a Dream. And when we come back, we'll resume the discussion, okay?
Okay, okay. Sounds wonderful. Go right ahead.
Yeah. All right. I'll be right back with
a kid will want to become. Yeah, yeah, oh. And now that I'm a man, I can understand that it ain't easy. When you stop dreaming, baby.
Every time. Thank you.
Welcome everybody to the On The Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. We are live on the air with Mr. Cecil Jenkins, the last protege of Mr. Marvin Gaye, and he has been filling us in with some wonderful information and detail about his project, Every Child Has a Dream, along with some wonderful insights and viewpoints about today's youth and the state of communications between them and the adults of society. We also have our co-host and our wonderful honorary guests here, Mr. Deacon Zeddy Williams and Lady Diamond. So I'm going to bring everybody back in, and we are going to continue this discussion, okay?
Okay.
Welcome. Are you back on the air?
We're back on.
All right. Hi, Cecil. Hang on 1 second. Hi, Deacon Williams. Are you with us?
Hello. Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. One more to go, and we'll be all set again. Lady Diamond, are you back?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, then. Okay, well, Cecil, the more I'm talking to you, the more intrigued than ever that I am with the project and everything else. And I'm sorry about the noise you heard earlier. I'm a klutz, and I hit something and dropped right off my desk. So, you know, just
kidding. I didn't hear a thing myself. I don't know.
Okay, great.
Else.
Thank you. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. I'm a total klutz sometimes. So, the thing that I will say is I listened to as many of the tracks I could as I was, you know, downloading them to transfer them over to the studio. And they're so deep. And not only that, I mean, you already started out, Cecil, with your own base in your childhood. I know you spoke of a few things in your book. So you already sort of had your own personal reasons or motivations for getting started. But then now I'm thinking as well that you had the privilege and the honor of working with Marvin Gaye, who also, as all of us know, his own motivations and personal problems with youth, and of course everybody knows the tragic story of how he died. But in between that, Marvin pretty much was an activist. What you spoke about earlier about African American music being long gone, the real message talking, the real, you know, issues and community things, you're right. Nowadays it's all about bling, about calling girls, derogatory names or inciting riots or things to that effect, even if it's just a gimmick, that's what these children are believing is going to sell. So yeah. Marvin Gaye spoke about what's going on from what was told in his autobiography was that he witnessed a police brutality thing and wrote that based on what he witnessed. There's other things he spoke about. He spoke about the real true meaning of making love to someone that you really love. He spoke about it from all angles. You know, he spoke about, you know, what's going on in the world, have mercy on what I'm seeing, you know, things like that. You did get raised with the best of the good old-fashioned music where the message was taught to mean something, you know. So coupling that with what you came from, this project seems to be right where you were headed anyway, whether you knew it or not.
Yeah, well, it's amazing how the project got put together, y'all. I got to tell y'all this story. It was unbelievable. We didn't leave the studio for 45 days straight, other than you know, to get something to eat or to go shower and come back. Lou John and I put this project together in 45 days. The way things were transpiring, it was like we were just moving. We were like pawns and we were just moving. And that's the way it was. I realized that because of the industry and the Illuminati of things and other things, as the people wanting to put a hush-hush on wordings that we have put into this mix, reasons why, of course, it brings education and therefore it brings growth. And no one wants growth. Those who are in control want to continue to control the growth. And that's why even in Overload, it says the powers that be wants to make it very hard for me. By putting those things in front of me to divert my focus on what it is that I really should be doing. But again, you know, Every Child Has a Dream is definitely my story. It's about me. And and I know that my story is no different than others, because we all share the same earth, and all the things that are going on here are going on where each of you are right now.
Right.
You know, it may be on a grander or lesser scale in some way because of the type of finances or the government that is there, but all the same things are happening. And Jesus said that they would be earthwide, and they are happening earthwide.
Right.
But every child has a dream. And, you know, it talks about, you know, one of the lyrics you might not have caught in there that were very important to me, and that was on the hook when it was saying every child has a dream when he's born. Mother tries to teach him things all along. It's hard to follow your heart. You never know where to start when you're young and in love. Because, see, when a youngster falls in love, they forget the dream. It's like, where did the dream go?
Where
did the dream go? Let's do a fall in love, you know what I mean? And say, if every child has a dream, mother, father, okay, has one too. And mother and father do have one too. You know what I'm saying? And then it just says children just don't do bad things. They really just don't. You know, all we have to do is hand them love. That's all.
Yeah, that's all. Brother.
Definitely we lose ourselves. If you remember, our parents used to call it having your nose open, you know, where it's that first whiff of a girl or that first whiff of a boy, you forget school. You could be an A student and you go from scribbling notes to scribbling, you know, hearts and arrows and girls' names or guys' names. So, yes, the dream does go out the window. The priorities go out the window.
Yeah. You know, Katie, you mentioned Marvin.
Yes.
Let me tell you the secret about that. I was in Virginia. I had left upstate New York, where I was living shortly. And then I came back to Virginia, and while in Virginia, I met a gentleman by the name of Tex. His name was Fabus Griffin. He used to play professional football. Big guy, tall. Huge hands. Well, he ended up being Marvin's bodyguard, but Tex was the kind of guy that could talk to anybody and get anywhere anyway. And I learned a lot from Tex. But Tex was with Marvin as Marvin's bodyguard, and of course, he was a bodyguard for Frank Beverly and Mays and quite a few others, and so we got a chance to meet quite a few through him. But the amazing part of Marvin was the fact that Marvin needed dancers to go to Jamaica. And Tex told him about myself and my partner, whose name was Fleecy. Real name is Joe Floyd James, the only man I knew with three first names. But anyway, Fleecy and I, you know, we would go around town and just dance at all the parties everywhere we went. We would go and just dancing everywhere too. Fleecy could dance too, and it was amazing because I danced throughout my life, and especially in high school. My father used to take me around, make me dance for all the neighbors, and then of course in high school I was known as one of the best dancers in Booker T. Washington High School, where they used to throw pennies out on the table on the floor and things for me. But anyway, Tex introduces to Marvin, and Marvin calls, and right now I'm floored because we got Marvin Gaye on the phone. I'm a young guy now, and I'm pushing this dance that's called The Rock, making it famous, okay? Michael Jackson did I Want to Rock With You, and Whistler did Rock Steady. Well, by the time Fleecy and I get to Hollywood, The Rock hasn't arrived on the West Coast yet. So we make it famous on the West Coast. And you got all the Soul Train dancers and the Lockers, who were personal friends of mine, Camelot Jr. His name was Greg Pope and all of that. And so dance got me in the game first. And so making the dance The Rock famous was credited to what it was I was doing. And happened to choreograph Marvin's tour with T.J. Kennedy, him and his sister Arlene, who were dancers out of Vegas, and happened to give them the street dances and other types of dance that was important. When we got to Los Angeles, and we drove down to Hollywood, to meet Marvin at his studio. Mm-hmm. That was the very first day, or the day of my arrival there. When we got there, we would witness Marvin using his craft on that day.
Wow.
It was astounding. It was unbelievable. Wow. To see how he worked what he worked. Because, see, Marvin was the inventor, or is the inventor, of multi-tracks. Multi-vocal
wow.
tracks. No one had ever done any multi-vocal tracks than Marvin Gaye with What's Going On. His own vocal throughout the whole album. You see? He didn't he used a little harmony here and there with Uncle Frankie, his brother, who sounded just like him. And so if he couldn't hit the note, then he'd have Uncle Frankie sing the note, like what's on the song What's Going On. Uncle Frankie's voice was in there in a few places, believe it or not. But we saw him do that. And I know that he loved me as a youngster because I was going through what he went through and wanting to become successful with my dream. And that's why he kept me there to his very death. And here it is. Then all of a sudden, I'm splattered all over CNN News worldwide, singing at Marvin Gaye's funeral.
Wow.
You see, which is all over the Facebooks and Twitters and all of the YouTubes and everything else that's out there. Me, this youngster from the projects. And Marvin's mother and my mother used to talk quite often about who was the real mother. That's how much she loved me. And the family loved me. And, Uncle Prince is what I was called. So, yeah, Marvin, you know, he helped save me with his family. Not that I was a bad kid, but I could have gotten involved in anything. But because of them reaching out to me and bringing me into the family, and him telling me, now Prince ain't signing you to no contract. That was my nickname, Prince, during the time. But you just stay here. Don't you go nowhere. You're family. So it became Uncle Prince. There's only one man who Marvin Gaye ever signed to a contract. His name is Preston Wilcox. His name is Bugsy. Bugsy is the only guy Marvin ever signed to a contract. He was Marvin's drummer. I had this talk with Bugsy a few days ago. And we're working on some projects together. Preston and Frank Blair, myself, and quite a few others. And so we'll see what happens. But, yeah, learn a lot. You know, I worked security for Marvin, too, you know. As skinny and as little as I was, I worked security. Let me tell you why I was working security, though, so you'll know. As little as I am, all I heard is I'm working security for such an icon. His goal was this. If I'm to learn, okay, and I'm to be Grasshopper and learn, then I had to be wherever he was to see how he operates. And so because I worked security, no one could stop me.
Right.
When I left the stage, I worked security. Oh, he lied. He told everybody I knew jujitsu and karate and everything, so nobody would mess with me anyway, you know. But overall, I could go anywhere because I was Uncle Prince on top of that. They all knew I was family. When we were overseas in Japan, we toured the Orient, I had the opportunity to meet the Prime Minister of Japan, all because of Marvin. And then after the show, and after we meet with the Prime Minister and all that, the next day, I'm in his hotel room, and all the money was all over the beds. He wanted to show me how much money could come in behind one show. And we're in there counting his dollars in his room in the Osaka Grand Hotel. It was amazing, you know, for me to see it all. Because he said these things in order, because he wanted to get back to What's Going On. You got to understand how that was. He really wanted to get back to What's Going On. And the influences and the purpose of sexual healing wasn't to be vulgar, or wasn't to be just straight out just disrespectful to anybody. That's why he called it sexual healing, as opposed to something else. You know, he could have did it in a nasty way, but he didn't do it that way. Because he wanted to first capture everyone, and we were headed back to What's Going On.
Right.
He wanted to do his own record company eventually, and I was to be that artist or that prince of his label, like he was the prince of Motown. That was the goal. That was why Uncle Frankie was working so close with me, and that was our plan, because I was a singer, dancer, actor at the time. I did a few movies. I was in the movie Dr. Detroit with Dan Aykroyd, and did Penitentiary 1 and 2 with Leon Isaac Kennedy because of Jamal Fanaka, who was like a godfather at the time out in that area. And in that area. I'm sorry?
No, I said right. I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, Jamal Fanaka. And so, and then a couple of televisions, and I did some musicals with a few people. So Adam Wade, you probably remember Adam Wade, who was an actor out in Hollywood, used to see him on to What's Happening and all of that kind of stuff. But anyway, you know, there was quite a few things that I was doing at the time, and I was learning all in the same breath. And but it was an experience that I think that other youth should know, and that's why I'm so willing to share it. And that's what's bringing that book, because of all of that, from the embryo of me and my mother's belly until I became the protege of Marvin Gaye until today, you see? So we got this interview in here before the book was finished. How about that?
That's
well, you know,
go ahead, Zeke.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes, sir.
You know, basically how you described yourself, whether you know it or not, you were describing an armor bearer. Because you were brought into Marvin's family, and you were taught things. You know, and a king will take in a person that he sees something in.
Okay.
And you had been taken in by Marvin's family, but first of all, you were taken in by God in the first place. So you were chosen for such a time as you were in, and that you are still in now. Because in the Bible, it says that for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected. And
I just put that on my Facebook.
Right, and if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of prayer, of the word of God and prayer, if you point out these things to your brothers, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Brought up in the truth and the faith and the good teachings that you have followed. So you basically are following in the steps of the word of God, not only by the Gaye family, but God has chosen you to do exactly what you are doing today.
I've heard that on several occasions, Deacon. Let me just say this, if I may be able to say this real quick, and I'd like to hear y'all talk more, and Katie, you want to ask me more questions and play more songs. But you know what? When I was growing up, when I left the projects and began to live with my grandmother at a young age, because there were so many of us, my father was a hustler, number runner, never did real bad things, just went to jail for crap, trying to take care of seven children. That's what he did. My mother was a devout Christian, a Jehovah's Witness, who was very strong about her faith. The interesting thing about all of it is that I grew up singing Marvin's music as a little kid, and my cousin Glenda was singing Gladys Knight songs or Tammy Terrell. And we were, my cousin Glenda could blow. And so we would have to sing for all the family members at gatherings or guests when they come by. And we had to sing and dance. And I'd be singing Marvin Gaye. Then I get to New York. Remember I told you I was in upstate New York before I met Marvin? I was in upstate New York when What's Going On came out. And I heard it for the first time with Danny Turner and Stanley and those guys that I met in Jamestown, New York. And we were listening to it like crazy, man. It was like every day, all day long. It was like I couldn't listen to nothing else. That's all I would listen to. That's all we would hear. That's all we would push every day. And then I get back to Virginia, and then we hear him on the telephone. And the thing is that I've always been this kid who had a very strong passion and deep love and appreciation for God. You see, because Jehovah has blessed my efforts, and I know that certain things have happened because of whatever reasons. I don't question them. I don't question them at all. I just continue to move, and as long as they're good,
right,
I continue to do good. I don't try. I don't do anyone bad that I know of, and if I hurt someone, I'm very quick about apologizing.
Yes.
The word sorry will come out of my mouth quickly.
Wow. Oh, wow. If you only knew that everything that just came out your mouth, we have done a topic on. Guys, you remember the I'm sorry segment that we just did?
Yes.
You know, how we spoke about the words I'm sorry can prevent so much and go so long, such a long way. You know, how it can also be said in a way where, depending on the tone, it can mean absolutely nothing. So we spoke about it, you know, about that.
Yeah.
We spoke about all of us losing our connection, our main connection with our Christianity roots. You know, those are the things that we need fundamental before anything else. And that was just what this country was founded on, and when we came off the Plymouth Rock.
That's the point. And that's why the black community, and I cut you off, D, real quick, that's why the black community, you know, I feel the pain, and I'm so sorry that it's happening this way with the music.
Because that's
what has kept the families united, is the music.
Right.
You see, that's why Motown was so powerful, because it was united. They had their little idiosyncrasies and their imperfections, and they were getting on each other's nerves and so forth and so forth and so on, but they were still a family. That's what made it all. We don't
and
have
it was
that today.
So much love. Everything came from the heart.
Everything in our era, not just, it wasn't so much like you said, it wasn't just about what you can do on stage. You had to know what you were doing. You had to be willing to go through the values and understand team. That none of that exists anymore. And that's it, sad. Not even the sports leagues. We were speaking on that. You know, back in our day, the NBA, you know, there was these players were good with the game. They valued the team. They valued the art of the game. It wasn't just about the fans screaming. That was an added bonus. They respected the game. They perfected their craft. They were walking the streets doing dribbling moves, trying to think of what to do next. Nowadays, you don't have that. But then again, on the same token, Then again, back then, we really had that village that it took to raise one child. We had the nosy neighbors that used to sit in the window with the rollers in their hair, looking at the girls shorts, you know, saying, oh, that girl's going to be fast. She's going to be fast. But just because her shorts were just above her knee, you know, you used to have that teacher that could wrap you on the knuckles with the ruler. You used to have the churches that were open no matter what time of day that you were walking the streets. If you were taking a walk because you just had a fight with your husband or your wife, there was always a place you could go to cry it out or pray it out. Even if you were a criminal and you were coming to a crossroad in your life where you just committed what you've been doing for the longest, but it suddenly now it started to bother you or hurt your conscience, you can go to a rectory or you can go to a pastor and say, this is what I'm feeling. Because you saw the church as something regal, something inexplicably regal.
Yeah.
That couldn't be touched. That was sacred. Criminals wouldn't even shoot somebody in front of a church.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to
nowadays,
kill everything out of
these children get stripes for the highest form of official they can get.
Yeah.
Katie, I have to say something, you know? I mean,
I was just thinking about you, Lady Diamond.
I know. I've been so quiet.
I was just
listening.
Thinking about you.
I was just enthralled by what you were saying, everything like that. I am, like, so happy to hear, you know, your side of everything. I'm just saying that you have been blessed by being under the wing of Marvin Gaye, you know? And compared to, I mean, you have been pushed to a path to where you are right now, which is great. Compared to the teenagers, I can't say only teenagers, but the children and the young adults, they're being pushed to a path that they have no idea that, they want to pursue a career in entertainment, but then they're doing it all the wrong way. You know, instead of them going like how you did it, they're going to the path of, okay, doing drugs, you know, getting arrested, doing crime. So they could at least have some type of profile and show to everybody, oh, wait a minute, he was in jail. Let's listen to his music. And not actually think about, okay, what will benefit me to make me a better person, which they don't.
Yeah.
They don't even do that. They don't do that. You know, and that's why I'm saying that, like, I mean, you've been blessed under him compared to others. They're still following the path of an idol that is not even true. And most of the people that supposedly went to jail and everything like that, they probably haven't even gone to jail, and they just want to make, you know, make up half of what they are put to be, not what they want to be, you know?
Yeah. You know, Lady Diamond, it's interesting that you would say that, because, I'm going to tell you why, because in that same song, Save the Children, Saving the Babies, that Miss Anna Gordy Gay gave the title to,
mm-hmm.
it talks about, it says the lyrics like this. It says, how can you ask them not to seek? You see what I'm saying? Because they're seeking,
yeah.
and they're selling their souls for money, power, and fame. That's what they're doing. They're selling their souls for that. Money, power,
yeah.
and fame. You see? But see,
yeah.
but how can you ask them not to seek it when there is nothing to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Mama's suffering from being sick. When dad is without a job, but need a fix. You see?
Wow.
Dad in need a fix. And so, because they're seeking it, is because those things, those are the type of things that are happening. They don't, you know, they're not being fathered, you know?
No.
And that's a big part of it. They're not being fathered. It's unfortunate
that's
the case.
Right.
And these people who are supposed to be like the icons or the idols of these, you know, these youth today, they're doing it all the wrong way. Instead of showing them, okay, you should do X, Y, and Z, which will better your life, and maybe, you know, you'll be seen. They're going to the path of, okay, I went to jail. You know, they're following the same path as them. They go to jail. They're selling weed, smoking weed, and everything like that. And that's not exactly what would get them far. And like you said, yeah, people are looking for a rope to, you know, to get money quick, and they don't actually see what they have to go through just to get to that point. They have to do a lot of struggling, a lot of hustling to get to that point, and they're doing it all wrong. And that's what I teach confirmation class in my church, and I tell them that. I said, listen, you're not going to get anywhere by doing that. You have to, you know, seek something better, and you can still do hip-hop, rap, R&B, as long as there's no cursing, as long as you're making yourself look like a better person, and they don't see it that way.
Yeah. Well, this CD don't have any sexual conversations in it. It has no curse words in it. And you would ask yourself, how in the world could somebody do something and not want to have sex throughout the thing, or would not be talking about all the wrong things, but everything positive?
Exactly.
Katie, if I can ask you a question, do you mind playing the story?
The untold
story? Yeah.
Yes.
That was very quick. That one only lasts for about, that was extremely short, actually.
And actually, before I'm going to do that, I'm actually going to do a double play on the break. But if you,
okay.
I there's a listener that's listening in right now that just inboxed me and was touched by everything that you said, your story, and everything that we're speaking about. And also, she happened to read and also listen to a previous segment that we had entitled, I Love You to Death. This morning, right about the time that you and I finished our last talk, Seppo, I was inspired by something that was taking place in my own home at the time, and a few stories that Deacon Williams went through and a few other people that were inboxing me last night. So I God put in my heart to write up a poem about
teen
violence.
Yeah, let's do it.
Right, and they asked me to read it on the air because they have a couple of teenage people who is in a domestic violence relationship, and they know it, but they're refusing it. So because of who you are, what you're advocating, what the show is, I promised that listener that I would. And I want to play first the untold story and then Save the Children, Saving the Babies as a double play, okay? So if you can just bear with me.
No, no problem at all. No problem at all. I want to hear the poem, though.
Yeah, it's coming right now. Maribel, out in Jersey, I got your request, and here's the poem. It's called I Love You to Death. It's written by myself, and this is also entitled the same as the segment that touched you with the same name, okay? This is called I Love You to Death, a tribute to the war against teen dating violence, and it starts off like this. My God, this must be heaven, were the words that came to mind when I saw that look in your eyes when you looked at me as if I was the only person standing on the lunch line. If only I could make my parents understand, but they just don't want to see. You could ask anyone else in the world, and yet you want me. I know that the bruise on my arm looked real bad, but I know that you wouldn't have done that if I didn't somehow make you mad. My parents kept telling me that what we have isn't love, because if we did, there would never be a harsh word exchanged between us, let alone a shove. But they weren't there when you said you were sorry. They didn't see the way you cried. And if they had any sense at all, they would understand how conflicted you were inside. You went through so much just to get me back. You brought me flowers and apologized on your knees, as a matter of fact. And it was so much better for 3 weeks after we made up that I made a solemn vow to never let anything break us up. You have been by my side everywhere I go. You even get upset when I went somewhere and you didn't know. You see, I got your back. No one understands you like I do. I can even understand why my eye is now black and blue. But what I don't understand is why my parents can't hear me. Why are they sobbing so loudly every time they come near me? And why am I lying flat on my back, looking up at a massive crowd, a crowd of almost all of my loved ones? And why are they crying so loud? I struggle to sit up, and I take a look around. I scream out, "It's okay, everybody, I'm fine," but I can't make a sound. And finally it hits me as I catch sight of my name, carved out on a tombstone that reflected the love from whence it came. Real love captures the heart. The word "I love you" takes your breath. But real love never hurts you. Love that hurts equals death.
Mm.
That's the end.
Wow. All right, I'm clapping.
All right.
I'm clapping. You wrote that today?
In
that's
5 minutes.
No, you wrote that today, correct?
I wrote that this morning at 5:05 a.m.
Very nice. Very nice. I have to hear some of your work.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear some of your work.
Yeah.
The children are in trouble.
Wow.
And I grew up a troubled teen. I grew up a victim of rape and incest. I grew up a victim of abuse and in relationships. And I'm also a single mom of an army. So to let you know, I'm watching how the youth take what they have so much better and easier for granted, and how the wrong person, because of a self-esteem issue from missing father or a otherwise engrossed mother, how long a turn they can make. How long a turn we can take from missing something in the house, and how parents don't seem to understand nowadays.
What am I going to do with you?
They don't seem to understand nowadays how it's more than just feeding your children that makes a parent. Okay, it's forming the security. Okay, in your child's character. It's forming their character. It's protecting them from the horrors of the world by letting them know no matter what goes on out there, they always have a safety net fall back on. Okay, parents are supposed to tell their children that no matter what, you're the best thing on this earth, and you know what? No one's good enough for you. But if you're a parent that's missing, if you're a father that's missing in your little girl's life, that poem is going to be something that she will be reading if she gets the chance to write it. If you're a mother that's trying to be friends with your daughter and allowing her to go buy outfits that I don't think any fabric industry in the world should be allowed to create for a child under a certain age anyway, you're telling her that that's the only way you're worth something in the world, is to show what should only be given to that special person.
Mm. You know,
we spoke
it's important.
About image too, so I'm sorry to that.
No, I'm sorry to cut you off. Please forgive me. You know, it's important that we kneel on one knee when we're talking to little people.
Yeah.
Look them right in their eyes. That's vitally important. That's more important than anything that they is. When they come to us and they want to talk with us, we don't need to run them away and tell them, get out of our faces.
Yeah.
We need to take a quick moment. If it's something extremely serious that we're discussing, we tell them, just give me a quick second. Let me say this, and then I'm going to attend to you. Say it, and then attend to them.
Yes.
Or, by all means, if they want to know something, we have to get on their level. We have to kneel and talk with them and tell them all the truths, nothing less than the truths. This is a world where they cannot be in the darkness and knowing that there are lies about anything. We got to tell them the truth.
Indeed. Well, first of all, since we are, I don't want this time to wind down without everyone getting grace, becoming grace with those two beautiful songs that I want to play. I'm going to start out, everyone, with Mr. Jenkins' request for the Untold Story. Sir, I believe you said that was your life directly, correct?
Correct. My father, I just want everybody to know that sometimes you don't have to be a father who's a doctor and anything else, and yet still he may take care of his family with whatever it is that he has. You see? And sometimes his life is not his own, especially not during those days, because they were his brothers and sisters. There were 18 of them, even though they married him to the family with 11. But it was 18 of them. Yeah,
the standards of what people think is ideal for family is not always a black and white book. People don't get that. You don't have to have blood to be a real sister or brother to someone. You know, blood doesn't always make the family. And then following that is going to be Save the Children, Saving the Babies. And we will be back in about 7 minutes. Thank you all for hanging out. So please, just stick with us and we'll be back to resume them.
Oh, ago. What would they use it for? They seek with no shame. When it brings nothing, pain, pain, pain. Every time I see a baby crying with nothing to eat, crying, no shoes on their feet, I feel bad. Every time I see a child who dreams of one day to see, who dreams of one day.
What an amazing double play that was from Mr. Cecil J. I'm going to be bringing him back in, but before I do, if you guys have not been listening in, you have missed a whole lot, but this man is amazing. The panel has been amazing tonight. The things that we have gotten out about our youth, the viewpoints, the cross interaction, all of this is not just for entertainment. It's not just because this is a man that's Marvin Gaye's protege. It's because OTE continues to try to empower, restore, reconnect, bridge the gap. We're trying to empower ourselves as an economy, as minorities, as parents, because today's world is in a whole lot of trouble. And our youth suffer more because they don't have anything to defend themselves but us. And a lot of us are disconnected because of whatever new changes in our life has happened. But mainly and foremost, it's because we've lost our connection with Christianity as it should have been. Now, I'm going to bring our amazing guests back along with our wonderful panelists and my co-hosts. And we are going to get as much as we can from him in this last 27 minutes of the segment. He has been absolutely wonderful. And I want to be able to give some details as to how you can be a part of it by contributing to what he is trying to raise and proceed. Okay, I know all of you are back in, okay, but the floor is now going to go to our guest. So, Mr. Jenkins, something you had said to me during our off-the-air talk, the CD, you're trying to raise funds for proceeds for a charity, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. There are certain songs, if I may be able to say, there are certain songs that we'd like to be able to make sure that we pronounce the fact that portions of this proceeds will go toward, for instance, the arts in the school system, or for a child's foundation of some kind in the medical field, just things of that sort. So each CD, each song on the CD is going to do that towards something. That's what we want to do. That's our goal, to do that. And because we were given it ourselves, you know, what God has given, and Jesus said it's better to give than receive. So even though we have this CD, we want to give from it. You know, I know things are going to come back, and they will come back. We just want to work. If we can work, then we'll be able to help make a difference. So the point is that any promoters you know, anybody in the business that you know, I am the last protege of Marvin Gaye. Sure, that was me singing at Marvin Gaye's funeral. Sure, I'm mentioning Marvin's book, Divided Soul. Several things mentioned about me from the very opening page. My name is there. But that is important for you to know reasons why, because then you know what direction I'm going in with what it is that I have. And so he wanted to get back to what's going on. He's not here to do it.
Right.
I can help.
Right.
I can help. And so if we got promoters out there want to book us, Elise Murray, if you're out there and you're listening and you're booking everybody and things are fine right now, book Cecil and Lujan. I guarantee you we're going to sell. I guarantee you we're going to help with what it is that we receive.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to be the wealthiest guys in the world. It's the education.
One of the things that we were definitely taught in church, and definitely when you spoke about, you always had a high regard or belief in God. You know, as a youngster, you're taught what your church-going elders, they'll teach you, and you've been raised with the essence of church. But, you know, I know myself, I personally felt that I always believed in God and definitely in His Son, Jesus. But knowing God is so much different than just believing in Him, because when I started to develop a real personal relationship where it was an understanding, open communication type thing, I was well in my 30s. I mean, like I said, I went to church, I pray, I believe. I was offended when people said bad things about Jesus and, you know, things to that effect. But understanding what it means to have a relationship with your Creator was a whole different lesson I had to learn. And I didn't learn it till I was well in my 30s. And a book called The Purpose-Driven Life actually helped me, you know, start channeling myself there. So what happened then was, I started to understand tragedy. I started to understand the struggles and the traumas that you've gone through. Not that it was anything from God or that you were being punished, but, you know, one of the things that was pointed out is we normally tend to strengthen our faith when we're in trouble. We normally tend to reach out to God more when we're in trouble. We pray more. We make promises. We do all these things.
But I also learned
that in all of those struggles that you go through, like, I couldn't understand why was my children and I in a shelter when we just owned a home because their dad did X, Y, and Z? Why was I walking the streets when I've always taken people in, no matter how cramped my space was? Why is it that I can't see, you know, that, like, pretty girls don't get abused, so I had to be ugly? And I felt about things like that. But I understood why I went through the abuse, why I was getting beaten, why I was going through this. Because right where I'm at right now, in this humble little position, right when I was in those shelters, I met other women who didn't have the inner strength that God gave me.
That's the point.
That was it. And it wasn't about so much me. It was for someone else. And I was able to be one of the most fortunate ones, the blessed ones, that was able to not be a repeat cyclist with what happened to me. I wanted to make a difference. But not being ashamed of being a victim, and I started trying to take the reins to be a supporter and an advocate. So I only brought that up not for me to put my story out. It was for me to tell you that from day one, what Deacon Williams said earlier, I'm adding to that point. You were designed to do this. God gave you the art so that you could feel whatever you were going through, to write it out and to want to do more. And that's what's happening. So this is your testimony, and this is your paying it forward and helping other people move in the mission to where God wants them to be. And it's not going to be easy, but you know something? You sat there, somebody who is, from my point of view, is seasoned in the business, has bumped elbows with the biggest of people, the same way my consultant for this show and Dolores as well. These are all people that God has put in this project's way for Elaine, myself, and Miles to go forward and to do what we're trying to get the show to do. So with all that being said, we have to definitely network, and we definitely have to keep pushing it forward no matter what little bit we can do. That little bit is a lot.
We can't
so
do it alone.
I pray that this works for you all the time. If anything we can do to help, we will.
And I appreciate that. And Lou John would appreciate that too. And I'm definitely going to, I told him I'd be talking with him a little later on today. And so forth. He's out on the West Coast and working with a lot of kids and so forth in the studio. And so some great things are happening. We just got to stay focused. And most importantly, we just want to work. If we're working and we're doing shows, because here it is, we have a book ready to go on April Fool's Day 2014. We have a CD ready to go with another CD coming right behind it. Here it is that we have a tour. We have a show put together that's awesome. And it's two shows. One of the shows is Cecil and Lou John featuring the protege of Marvin Gaye, Cecil J. That's one show. And then the other show is Cecil J, the protege of Marvin Gaye. So there's two shows. Cecil J, the protege of Marvin Gaye, does a great deal of Marvin songs and just a couple of Cecil and Lou John songs that were pretty well known throughout the country. And then on the other end, Cecil and Lou John featuring the protege of Marvin Gaye is something that I promised Marvin that I would never ever do, and that is to ever perform anywhere in concert and not do at least one of his songs. So I do a medley by Marvin, and no one does them better in my own way. I'm still being myself, because he told me to always be that. But there's going to always be some flavor of Marvin, no matter what.
There'll always be
some flavor there. You know, my big brother.
Yeah.
Him and Uncle Frankie. And Uncle Frankie, if y'all could have only heard from Uncle Frankie. Oh.
Wow.
Uncle Frankie was awesome.
We have
turned
it down to our last 10 minutes. So what I would like to do, Cecil, is get the panel to ask you any final questions and see what else we can do. So, Lady Diamond, you've only peeped in a couple of minutes, and I know it's not your fault. We kind of all were around you. So any questions you have of Cecil?
Yeah, sure. What I would like to ask is, in your experience, what would you like to share for the young ones out there? Well, instead of them following through for what, like an idol that is not great, you know, like, or an icon that's not great, or a movie star that's not that great, you know, what would you tell them to do to at least move on to the right path so they could at least explore their options and do great in?
Well, there's three things that I think about first before I tell them about the craft part of it. And that is, they have to constantly think about the three P's. The three P's work for me. Hopefully it will work for everybody who attaches it to themselves. And so the first thing that we have to do is pray. So prayer is first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the first of the P's. And then the second, they have to have perseverance. Because perseverance is something that will get them through or around whatever is stumbling and whatever is blocking. And most importantly is to have faith in the fact that first thing you did was to pray, is to have patience. Because if you have that patience, you see, and you rely on God and believe one thing, we can't do a single thing without him. You see? Now, we can do bad things, and we can be on Satan's side or whatever, and Satan will help us now. He's good at that. But if we're talking about good things and being in God's favor, then those three P's are very, very successful with me. Again, it's prayer, perseverance, and patience. The other thing is if it's something that you really want to do, you got to work on it. You got to work on it. You got to do stuff. You know, you got to do stuff. And so if they're doing stuff and they're not allowing the music to suffer, and they're doing the suffering by trying to make it happen, then it can happen, you see, because every child has a dream. And the point is just to know what that dream is of yours and then to approach that dream knowing that it will happen no matter what.
Indeed. Wonderful. That's
like the same quote that I put out there a long time ago.
We're very good. We're thinking the same. We got the same mindset. And Lady Diamond, we got to talk again, you know what I mean? With a name like Lady Diamond, how did you, if I can ask a question, how did you come with such a name?
My middle name is Diamond.
Your middle name is Diamond?
Okay.
And so by saying Lady Diamond, was it totally because of Lady Diamond, Diamond being your middle name, or did you see something else too? Because a diamond is most precious of all the stones.
Right.
Yeah, that works. Deacon Williams, what was it that you wanted to ask me, sir?
Okay, I really didn't have a question for you, but I just wanted to let you know that I'm a product of somebody that saw something in me, because at one point I was labeled a menace to society. I never thought I would live to be 18 years old.
Wow.
I got into some trouble, and I was looking at 10 to 15 years in the penitentiary. But a judge saw something in me, and I had been in front of this judge several times before. And he gave me a choice, which he did not have to. He gave me a choice to do the 10 to 15 years or do 3 years in the military. And at that time, I didn't realize that God had his hand on me then. And that's why I feel this with my whole heart, what you are doing, because I feel as though that God reached down and snatched me up and shook me up and set me back down, and I was a totally different person afterwards.
Yeah.
Because I am definitely dedicated to the young people out here, because it hurts me to see some of the things that they're having to deal with in today's society.
Yeah.
Okay, and the one thing that I want to leave with you is this. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this, we labor and strive that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture and to preaching, teaching, public reading of Scripture. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands upon you.
Yeah.
Do not be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely, preserving them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers.
Those who listen to you. That's right.
Amen.
Thank you so much for that. You know,
yes.
We need these reminders constantly.
Yes, we do.
You're absolutely awesome.
And you are a living example of what can happen to a child with a dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a living example. Yeah. We appreciate you much.
Yes, I appreciate you too. So hopefully we'll talk again sometime.
Well, I'm wanting to come to where y'all are. Just send for me.
All right.
You're stuck with us now.
Yeah.
You're stuck with us now.
Yeah, just send for me. I'm
you
ready
can't
to come.
Take us. So when we show up at your shows, don't pretend you never knew us, okay? We're going to use stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. You better watch it. I might have you up on the stage singing with me.
Oh, no, you will not. I don't even
think
I
will. I'll corner you, you know, and have you right up here.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no. I'll put Lady Diamond up front. I'll put Lady Diamond up front. Sir, I can't tell you what an honor it is for all of us. I personally have been touched by the things I've heard, and now I've graced the panel here to have heard the products that it did. I do need to just say one more thing. Mara out there in Jersey, the poem, I hope the person that you wanted to hear it was there listening. And I hope that if we have a panel about it, that you please call in, and you don't have to give names, but let us know what's going on, because we also do pray. Because that is one of the biggest things that's taking our teens right now is being killed at the hands of who they call their loved ones. And it's a sad situation, so we definitely are deep youth advocates in trying to empower the youth with some knowledge and information as well. It just touched me when I'm hearing the songs, Sir Cecil over there. I love when people continue to try to do that with everything that is changing with the society. You know, that there are people still up there caring to make sure that the youth have an option no matter how much it seems like it's all been taken away. And I need you, after the show, to send me the links to how they can order from you, where they can get it from, and allow me to be an extra avenue with us and the team to put it on our market page and on our Facebook postings so that people can have more ways to reach you with the CD buying.
We'll definitely do that. I'll touch bases with my publicist, and I'll have her to make sure you got everything that you need in order to make this happen. Okay? And
yes.
And listen, I am just so thankful for so much, and I really honestly am thankful for all the things that have happened and all the things that God has put in front of me. And here it is, I am with new people, new emotions, new ways of seeing God's word. Just blessed and thankful. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, with that being said,
Lady Diamond, hang in there, girl.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Cecil, we will be having you back up for a follow-up segment, okay? I want to know
how things are
going. And I will be using your songs throughout the week, you know, to do
what you got to do. That's fine with us. And
okay,
we'll come back on with Lou John and I both together.
Yes, I would love that. I would love that. You're here, Blue John, if you listen. We want to hear too. And if you don't mind, sir, would you mind please help and promote the show around where you are in case they're listening to
us? Oh, there's no doubt about it. As soon as I finish up here, I'm going to tell everybody to check it out. I wasn't able to get by a computer earlier because I'm moving so fast. And I think you sent me the information where I could get a copy of what we just.
As soon as we log off and I say goodnight, the show will be recorded into an archive 10 minutes after we available 10 minutes after we go off the air. That's
and
all
and
of you out there.
I can go online to that archive and download it.
Absolutely, I will give you the link, and the very first archive you see is going to be tonight. I would like to once again, for those of you just joining us, thank you, because Friday we celebrated our 10,000th listener, and we are now only 3 days later at 10,322 listeners. So we got over 300 brand new listeners over the weekend.
Wow.
I don't know
Fantastic.
Where you're coming from. So I praise God for that.
Fantastic.
I thank all of you. I thank all of you teeny boppers with your iPhones and your iPhone 5 and your podcast, because that's where most of our numbers came from this weekend. Facebook,
right.
Twitter, you guys have been never-ending supporters from day one when we started this. I want to thank every single one of you, because all of you are telling us that somehow or another we're touching you. And that's what we're trying to do. Through the grace of God, we are trying to do that. So everyone out there, please hang on. Thank you for going through our glitches, our microphone drop-offs, everything.
KD.
Yes, sir.
K- Let
sir.
Me just say this one last one. All you listeners out there, go to SESILJ.com. That's the website. All my contact information is there. If you find it necessary to reach out to me, by all means, do so. But I just wanted to tell you that my love for all of you is vitally important. We have got to come together, y'all. If you're listening, we must come together. Okay?
Yes.
That's vital. Love you all. Love all of you. And understand that to be the truth.
Yes, we do. We all need to come together.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, my brother, may the Lord continually smile his face upon you, man, and forever be blessed, man.
Same with you, Deacon Williams. I appreciate it very much. Like I said before, appreciate you very much.
Yes,
please
sir.
Go to my information. Stay in touch as often as you want. That's fine with me.
Oh, yes, because I'm in the process of working on putting together this youth program here in Toledo, Ohio, to try and help some of these gangbangers get off the streets. So,
hey, well, I'm ready to come.
All right.
With this message here, that every child has a dream, that's what this is all about. You know, same thing in my backyard over in Newport News right here in my area. I'm going to do something with that.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, let's make that happen.
Well, together, everyone, listeners, that you have heard on this panel, including Mr. Cecil, definitely you guys have all heard from Deacon Williams. You have heard from Lady Diamond and myself. You've heard from Monster Miles. One of the things that we are trying to do, especially as a people, is trying to eliminate what I have named the NIMBY disease. That's NIMBY, meaning not in my backyard. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everything around our children affects us. Even if they're not our children, they are our future, and they cannot defend themselves. They are dealing with a battle internally, and then they are dealing with the same people who cause these self-esteem issues in them, pointing the finger and blaming them for what they're becoming. We have to step up. We have to fight the odds. We have to fight the government. We have to teach them how to vote. We have to teach them how to read into the candidates that are out there. We have to teach them, sadly, that as a certain race, color, or whatever it is, profiles are being made and there's certain ways you have to behave. We have to teach them ethics and let them understand that crazy things they want to do and by way of expressing themselves that should be allowed because they choose to do it, not because they feel that they have to fit in, period. Any change that they need to make to themselves, be it that they want to lose some weight, should be their personal need for improvement for themselves, not because they feel that they're going to be out there to be accepted if they dress a certain way or if they're skinny or if their teeth are straight or if their hair is long. That should not be what's in their minds. They should first say, I like me as I am, and what I want to do is cut up my hair this week because I'm sick of the long hair. That should be a personal choice, not a necessity in their mind. So with that being said, I'm going to go out with Cecil's thankful, and then we're going to close out with our OTE outro. And guys, until tomorrow night at 8:30, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, okay? God bless. Thank you all on the panel for joining me this evening.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Be blessed. Good night.
Talk about real issues.